Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luca Pete Show. It is Monday the 13th of March. Pete Donaldson with you. I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moore. Lukey, I've been watching that Physical 100 programme like loads.
Yeah, so I think I'm a bit behind. I was the one who recommended it to you, but I think I'm maybe two episodes behind now. So I've just finished the episode where they have to lug the big ships.
The big ships. So I've not watched that one yet. Okay, only just got... Because they got a good two episodes out of that fucking sand one. The sand and the bridge.
Yes. They love a cliffhanger, don't they?
They love a cliffhanger, and I don't know how they managed to get two episodes out of that one. That was they had to build a sort of wooden platform on ropes, and then basically church a load of sand over to the other side. And the team, out of the two that were doing battle, whichever team goes through, you get to not get thrown out of the competition.
But yeah, so basically whoever lugs the most sand into the tube at the end went through, right?
And that sexy Yama guy's still in there, I think. The guy that just looks cool.
Oh, he's great.
UFC fighter.
Chung Hoon Soon, I think his name is. Mm. He's brilliant. He looks like a Korean Iron Man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Complete dude.
But like when they talk about each other's bodies and things, and they're quite poetic with how they sort of describe one another. Yeah. You know what I mean? They sort of go... He is like, they talk beautifully about each other's bodies, but it is just about talking about each other's bodies.
Do you remember what I said to you when I first started watching it? It was kind of interesting, the cultural differences between what it would be like in the UK. In the UK, it would just be trash talk central. The kind of people who'd be on it, a UK version, which I'm sure they'll make at some point, it'll just be massive. It'll be almost like a boxing promotion where... They just trash talk each other and then, you know, embarrass themselves and, you know.
And because they may not be media trained, so they'll say something absolutely fucking horrific.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a bit in Physical 100 where there's a young Korean MMA fighter and there's an older, Korean MMA fighter that we're just talking about there. And when they had to pick an opponent to wrestle with for one particular round, the younger MMA fighter... went straight up to like the world champion, older one, who was obviously much harder than him, was like, it would be an honour for me to fight you, I choose you. And yeah. And that would never happen.
Under that.
There must be some kind of like respect-based thing in that environment where they feel like they have to, it would be disrespectful to not choose them or something. Because there was absolutely no reason he would have chosen him.
But then there was that other UFC fighter who just chose
the woman.
Chose a tiny woman.
Yeah.
And then kneeled on her chest for about 5 minutes and nearly got disqualified. Yeah. I mean, it was just a horrible scene.
It was.
Absolutely rancid.
But how long do you reckon, because the first round was where they had to hang on to that scaffold for as long as possible, wasn't it? How long do you reckon you can hold on to that? You'd be quite good at that, I reckon.
Nah, too heavy. I am deceptively heavy.
Really?
It's really
dense.
I fancy my chances to beat you, but only you.
Oh, you would. I would last under a second. I'll tell you.
And someone would land on top of me and break my nose.
Yeah. That actually happened to me before when I was playing football once. I slid tackled someone and they landed on my face.
Oh.
And it busted my nose. And then when I was in the shower afterwards, I blew my nose and a bit of my nose came out.
Oh, that's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Not good, is it? It's not good. I mean, I'm sorry if people are disgusted by that. I should have given you a warning, but it wasn't ideal.
Do you know what's more? Do you know what's more disgusting? A man we mentioned about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Mr. Beast's chocolate.
Oh,
we've had a go at KSI and Logan Paul's
some,
Prime. We're now talking about Mr. Beast's chocolate. Last week, Mr. Beast, a man who is a multi-billion, he'll be the first YouTube billionaire. Apparently,
he's not a billionaire, is he?
He will be. He will be the first one. That's what they're saying. That's word on. I mean, I don't know how much is, you know, I don't know how liquid he is, but they reckon.
How is he able to? How is he able to make so much money?
I don't.
He's only 24 now. He looks about your age.
Well, he's my. He's got the same name as me. Second name as me. So I think I should be entitled to a bit of it.
Yeah.
Go on, Mr.
So he's got some chocolate out, has he?
He's got some chocolate out called Feastables. I guess it's Mr. Beastables Feastables. And he tweeted, I need your help. Next time you see Feastables in Walmart and soon to be new retailers, if you could clean up the presentation and make it look better, that'd make me very happy. I'm building a team to do this routinely. I just need help in the short term. So he's basically getting his followers and fans to go around Walmart and basically tidy up his product line.
That's clever.
And and people are doing it, and they are replying, saying, I've done it, master. It's just like, I mean, there's one guy who's going, this is exactly why I think creator brands will dominate shelf space this decade. No typical chocolate brand could get consumers to care enough to do this. Mr. Beast, says Lone Wolf, Real Nelson on Twitter. I was at Walmart and I saw your chocolate bar. I fixed them properly. Anything for the team. I even bought the chocolate sea salt one. # team Mr. Beast. And it's just horrific, Luke.
It's
absolutely horrific. It is that he's got this power that people are going to be, you know, going into. I'd be knocking them on the floor. I'd be jamming my keys through the packaging. I'd be shoplifting them.
So are we asking people that when they go into a Walmart or presumably an American retailer, and they see Mr. Beast chocolate, to throw it on the floor?
Yeah. Walk over to where they're selling the the deli counter, where, you know, you have like salads and stuff, and sometimes you'll have a little in like Whole Foods, you have like urns of soup and stuff that you can pour yourself some soup.
Yeah,
just chuck all the bars in the soup, melt it.
So just stopping before you'd get kicked out and possibly banned from the shop. You've gone full on ban yourself from the shop because. Mr. Beast.
You're not removing it. You're not removing the Mr. Beast chocolate from the shop, are you? You're just putting them in the soup.
But Mr. Beast has got a lot more of a loyal following than us. People will do stuff that he says. They won't do stuff we say.
I mean, he's like, there's a guy, I mean, people are like proper like going, you got it, boss. Heading out to a few Walmarts now to get to work. And the official Feastables Twitter page says, let's go. Two hands in the air. High fives. It's awful, isn't it?
It's a bit
frightening. It's awful. Life's awful. I hate it.
I watched the Mr. Beast video, which is really interesting, and I told people about it, and then loads of people who know stuff about Mr. Beast compared to me, which is nothing, said, oh, no, he's a dickhead. But I thought he came across okay. Compared to some of them.
I mean, it's just like, it's like Last Days of Rome, kind of like gorging themselves on making it bigger and more expensive and wasting more money than everyone else, and just kind of like, it's just like there's little creativity there. It's just sort of saying, I'm going to do it at a higher price point than everyone else. You know, I'm going to smash up a Lamborghini because I can. Look at this,
like
everyone.
The bonus level in Street Fighter 2.
Or like that lad who was with that other lad on the Brits that time. Do you remember the Brits like 3 or 4 years ago? The man who's like the biggest rapper in the world. Give us three.
Oh, I want to talk about the Brits again because I once went to the Brits in 2007.
I think it might have been Kendrick Lamar. I think Kendrick Lamar was on, and his friend, while he was rapping, his friend had, like, there was a Lambo, and he was smashing up the Lamborghini with a baseball bat, and that was his performance. But...
It was Kendrick, presumably, wasn't it? I remember,
presumably due to safety concerns. Oh, now you remember.
Yeah.
Don't mock me. It was encased in this massive glass cube.
Yeah.
So no glass could hit a child and blind them. I just took something away from the whole performance, personally.
I find that quite interesting as a concept, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but like, I mean, he only really did the windscreen and a couple of lights. I could fit a couple of lights.
I didn't actually see it, but it would have been crap if you just very delicately, purposely broke some very specific parts of the car.
Yeah, got a screwdriver out and just undid the wing mirror.
Just a little tap, little tap, tap. I haven't seen Mr. Beast do that kind of thing. I've seen him do like, oh, if my mate stays in this room, I'll give him $100,000 or something.
Right, okay.
And then he leaves him in there with all this stuff and he starts taking stuff away. And it was quite, I just thought it was quite interesting. But to change the subject slightly, one of our listeners has been in touch, Stephen, and he's been very impressed by your DIY work around your house, Peter.
Right.
Obviously thinks you're a man of the world. You can get stuck into a lot of different tasks, a lot of household tasks.
Okay.
And Stephen says he and his partner have just bought an old house, an 1869 Coast Guards cottage.
Ooh.
And they found some interesting stuff, I think similar to the problem you had in the base of the wall, and he wanted some advice from you on how to restore it.
Right, okay. What, like bits of like wood and stuff?
Yeah. It's like dry rot issues, I guess.
Right, okay. Yeah.
How did you do yours? Just because you were just...
I think I just got some like some special anti rising damp sticks, drilled a hole, popped them in, and then just, you know, plastered over the top of them. Love the old job.
And that'll last you for at least six weeks or that, more, won't it?
Last you for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
that'll stave it off for a bit.
We've got this remarkable record outside our house. So any time we don't want anything in the house anymore, but it's like
just leave it outside.
Yeah, and every single time it gets taken. Like,
yeah,
Mimi puts up a sign, just says free, please take. Sellotape it to the item, and every single time it goes.
Right, okay, yeah. It always just goes.
So, because I had a bit of, I didn't have an issue with it, but I thought it was a bit odd the other week where we had this big dining room table, which has always been too big for the room, and we wanted to make a bit more space. So, and then we had this like shoe cupboard thing that sat in the hallway. And it kind of serves as a little side table. You can put stuff on top of it. It's got a drawer in it, but it's also got all these places for shoes. It's like a really useful piece, but we had another, because we had the house decorated with another thing that we wanted. So, to get rid of it. So I called the local charity, and the charity, they're really great normally, and they, what they do is they get hold of furniture for people who have previously been homeless and they've just got a new place of their own and want to get up on their feet and they can't afford furniture, right? It's a really noble cause. Like, it's a cool thing. And so I called them up, so I've got these two pieces, and they came round and they said, oh yeah, we'll have a look, and if we want them, we'll take them in the lorry. They came round with the truck, and they took the dining table straight away. They were happy with that. And then this little side table, they wouldn't take it because a couple of the cats had used it to sharpen their claws on it.
Right, okay, yeah.
And I was saying to them, you could sand that down in like 10 seconds and it wouldn't be there. Like, you wouldn't even be able to see it. And they were like, no, we can't take it. It's not. It's damaged. And I was thinking, I'm being rude, but like, if I was someone who had a new house and no furniture, I'd happily take it. I would happily take that. But they wouldn't take it.
You've got cats yourselves.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Well, it's true, actually, because my cats would just ruin it anyway. So I took it outside, and we left a little sign on it. And it's quite a big, bulky item. You couldn't really lift it on your own. And woke up the next morning, gone.
Gone. Well, there you go.
The furniture fairy had taken it, mate.
Leave the furniture fairy and take it. I'm going to on your WhatsApp, Luke.
Yeah.
I forgot to put this in the running order. I'm just about to send you a little link, and I'd like you to watch it, and I'd like you to tell listeners what you can see.
Okay, clicking now.
Clicking now.
Okay, it's watch me eat a sink steak.
A sink steak.
Is he cooking a steak under a hot water tap?
Yeah, he's cooking a steak under a hot water tap. So he's got a steak, and he's just put it on a plate, and he's eating it with, like, a big stick of butter on top of it.
Yeah. What's the point of that?
I just think he's better than Mr. Beast.
The Butter Dog, his name is.
Basically, he's called the Butter Dog on TikTok, and he eats steaks with massive pats of butter.
So have I told you about the guy? It reminds me of a guy that, so I can't really say how I know him, but I don't know him that well, as in I've not met him more than once, but he's someone who I know through other people. And I might have told you about him before, but he's insane. And he got diagnosed with a kind of gastro illness. He's an American guy, and he wasn't very happy with the diagnosis, and I think he's one of these kind of big pharma, you know, conspiracy kind of dudes. And so he couldn't go to work because he had this illness, and he wouldn't accept the treatment, so he lost his job. Right, I was not laughing at him losing his job because that's terrible, but it was his own fucking fault. So, you
know. Yeah.
And then, so what he did is he then completely lost it, and he started reading all this stuff online about the thing that would sort him out is this Jordan Peterson kind of style diet.
Yeah,
where
steak and pills.
He would only eat steak and butter.
Right.
And then it started to escalate. Fair. And this is all being tracked on, like, Instagram. He was doing all of it on Instagram so you could see what was happening. And he started living in his car because his family were like, what are you doing? Like, you can't live here if you haven't got any money because you quit your job because you weren't taking any treatment for an illness. And we'd like you to get help, but if you refuse to do it, you're not living here. So he ended up living in his car, just driving around. Anyway, he ended up in, like, California. And the culmination of this video series was basically him in the back of his beat-up car with a cool box full of, like, really cheap cuts of mince, cooking it on, like, a Calla gas stove with, like, chunk after chunk of butter going, oh, yeah, I feel really sick. I think it must be this illness. And it's like...
It must be this illness.
It's not the illness, mate.
Nah. It's the butter.
You are eating probably about 500 grams of saturated fat a day. and it's just, it's absolutely remarkable. But anyway.
I'd have a lovely time for the first few days, but it would start to take its toll very quickly, wouldn't
it? Do you remember, like, when Jordan Peterson would only eat beef for a while?
Yeah, yeah.
He got interviewed
sad because he had like, he'd eaten too. What's the stuff they put in beef in the USDA stuff?
Clenbuterol.
Like, kind of all. Yeah, it's just all kind of like weird hormones and stuff, and it made him cry all the time.
Yeah, and he got interviewed, didn't he? Some woman interviewed him and was saying, some interviewer interviewed him and was saying, are you still doing your all beef diet? Like, chuckling away. And he was like, yes. And she was like, what's it like? And he was like, I wouldn't recommend it. So, like, why are you doing it then? Why are you doing it?
It's actually quite hard to
replace havoc with your social. I can't do it without doing Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers movies. I can't do an impression of him. Is that why he kept crying all the time?
I think so. He just had too much funny steak.
Funny steak. You know, Pete, let's have a break because when we come back, do you remember a week or two ago we talked about a guy who worked on The Last of Us? Well, we've got another listener who's been in touch who's working on some other interesting shit, and I'd like to talk about it. So let's have a break, and then when we come back, we'll do that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. Lukey Moore, what have you got for us? You promised a lot before the break, and you better fucking deliver.
Yeah, so our friend...
Or it's steak and butter for you all this week.
Oh, yes, please. our friend Sean has been in touch by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, and he says, Hi, Luke and Pete. You guys were so excited by a recent email from somebody who listened to the show while working on VFX for the brilliant The Last of Us. I thought you might be interested to hear some other shows and movies that have been infected by your brain spores, to borrow a metaphor from Pete. One of the best things about my job as a prop maker is that I get to listen to podcasts for about 9 hours a day, and as such, have worked my way through much of the Stack stable over the past few years. You guys have been spouting nonsense into my ears while I've been building droids for Star Wars.
Oh!
A melted Iron Throne for the finale of Game of Thrones, and disemboweled horses for Amazon's Lord of the Rings show.
That's big, isn't it? That is big.
I was even listening to you at work on season 2 of The Witcher when I got a splinter under my thumbnail so big that the entire nail had to get yanked out.
Oh, that's... How did you manage to do
I'd
that?
I'd love to know more about that, Sean. He says, there's been plenty of other jobs too, and while I'm prohibited from talking about what I'm currently working on by an NDA, imagine a building somebody lives in, only instead of a person living there, it's some kind of huge winged reptile. Thanks so much for the literally hundreds and hundreds of hours you naughty boys have kept me sane, and I'll promise I'll endeavour to insert a Luke and Pete Show Easter egg into every job from now on. Sean Schofield. Pierce, if you give me a mailing address for the Stack office... I'd love to send you guys a couple of trinkets from some jobs I've worked on that you've talked about over the years. Cheers, Sean. All right, Rory, get on that. We'll definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely brilliant. That is what a useful emailer. And the rest of you, what have you ever done for us? We got people sending us Prime. We got Sean is working on our bloody films and stuff. Yeah. Amazing. He's going to write Luke and Pete on the forehead of that lizard.
Yeah, we had the detective guy from Baltimore, who took a shit in a takeaway box and told us about it.
The man who wiped bread all over a toilet.
Yeah, exactly. We've had some good ones in the past. But Sean, Sean, if you send us some props, let's be perfectly clear about this. We'll keep the best ones, but some of the other ones we'll probably give away as prizes. Won't we? What an incredible situation. I love the idea that we're yabbering away, someone's actually doing a genuinely interesting job, Peter.
I bet he stinks of latex.
Oh, big time.
I bet. Because I remember when the Eurovision Botherers Lordi, the Finnish rock band, came in to XFM on The Breakfast Show.
Were they in costume?
I mean, They were in costume, but like you sort of think that, you know, they're going to smell of something, like, you know, death. But they smell of latex. They just smell of latex.
How,
it's brilliant.
How can they be bothered to be in that shit all the time? It's so, like, sweaty yeah. and...
Yeah, but they know what they are. They're Lordy, for crying out loud. And, like, you know, they didn't...
They won it as well. They won the Eurovision, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I always think that about, the kind of the death metal scene. Like, it's such an incredible amount of effort. Isn't it? To think about being in the death metal band, right? All the admin you've got to do. You've got to down-tune all your guitars. You've got to sing with that guttural stuff. You've got to wear the makeup. You've got to wear strepsils. The heavy clothes.
You've got to find Cavonia or strepsils to big maintain time. Your voice.
It's just not worth the effort. It is not. You'd rather be in a much rather be in a dreamy indie pop band.
Yeah, but then there's a lot of guitar pedals.
That's true.
You've got to carry a lot of guitar pedals then, haven't you?
That is very true. There's another email here from Brent who just takes us on a little trip down memory lane. I quite like this one. Brett says... he's from LA, by the way. He says he's an Anglophile in LA. He says, hello, Luke and Pete. Long time Ramble listener. Recent Luke and Pete show convert. I've begun listening in possibly the most deranged way possible, keeping up with new episodes as they come out while going through the back catalogue, starting with episode one, in between releases until I get caught up. It's just baffling. I mean, the show's baffling anyway. I have no idea how you're going to get through that. He says, in light of my recent journey, I thought it would be fun to remind you both of some of the hot topics from the first dozen or so episodes in summer 2017 of what was then Luke and Pete's summer. Glad to hear the jingle has remained the same and looking forward to Battery Brands making their pod debut. So he says the highlights for him are Pete's Bare Naked Ladies 1 week impression.
That ran and ran, didn't it? That
can you still do it?
Yet spin.
That's not too bad.
I think that's one of the best ones I've ever done.
It's not too bad. It felt like
all I needed was 3 years off.
It felt like you actually pressed the button for the song. bombs of all sorts, including Pete's internet simulation of an atom bomb being dropped on his childhood home.
Right, okay, good.
worst family dinner conversations. That's of course when the boy called his mum a greedy cunt. Forest hermits from around the world, motion sickness, lots of poo stories, brackets, listener driven. So,
listener drivel.
There we go.
Well, like...
I don't know what made me think of this, but I was on a Wikipedia rabbit hole the other day. And this is massively Alan Partridge, I know, but yeah, forgive me. I was reading about the Vietnam War, right?
Mm.
And I started reading about people who had won the Medal of Honor. In the Vietnam War, right? Do you know what the Medal of Honor is? So it's like the Victoria Cross, basically.
Great video game.
Yeah, but it's basically like the Victoria Cross.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's for outstanding bravery. It's normally
cool gun work.
Posthumously and all that kind of stuff. But, right, I estimate, that looking at the list of Medal of Honor winners in Vietnam, right, I reckon... about 40% of them won it for throwing themselves on a grenade and saving the lives of their colleagues.
Right, just constantly throwing themselves on grenades.
Just every other person that seems to have won it did it in that way.
Posthumously, presumably.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a little spoiler alert, Pete. Throw yourself on a grenade. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world to survive.
But what if you squeeze it really tight?
I think they just used a dive squeeze... on it.
Yeah. What if you squeeze it really tight? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that would work. That is going to get you the Victoria Cross, but I'd consider putting a dinner plate or a dinner tray over the top.
Yeah. Well, like that would help. The dinner tray that they used to hit that hippo in the face.
Exactly, yeah, that sort of thing.
My friend died with a paint grenade in paintball once. He did, I promise you. Honestly, he did.
I think that would probably do some damage as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it was that. I don't think it was that pleasant for him. But it just made me think that, like, I was really stunned at how often that seems to have happened. To me, if someone said to me, "How often has that happened ever?" I'd probably say, "I don't know, 5." Well, it happened about 200 times in one war.
Jesus Christ! I mean, what a sacrifice, and what, like,
if I brought the mood down,
got this a little bit. I've been thinking about, like, when it all kicks off, because it is going to kick off, isn't it? I'd really, I don't want to go to war, Luke. I think about this sort of thing a lot. I just can't be fucking arsed with it.
You won't be doing anything. What are you going to do?
I'll be doing stuff.
You'll be a forces sweetheart.
With your doing podcasts for the troops.
Yeah. You see, Donald Trump the other day, in one of the more deranged speeches, and there's been a lot of them, he was talking about, he just went off on one about World War III. He said, if you make me president, I'll avert World War III. And everyone started cheering, and he went, and you are going to have World War III, by the way. You're definitely going to have it. What do you mean you're going to have it? You're involved.
Well, no, he won't, because he's got heel spurs, hasn't
he?
Oh,
yeah, true. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. It was an absolutely deranged effort by him. But anyway, that's another story. Let me bring it back by, just before we go, reading this last email out. I want to read this email out from Sean from Whitley Bay, who's a regular emailer. Not the same Sean who does props for all those amazing TV shows. But anyway, Sean from Whitley Bay says, all right, lads, your recent chat about the Korean TV show Physical 100 reminded me of a show from the mid-2000s that currently seems to be available to watch precisely nowhere. It was a cross between Superstars, where Kevin Keegan famously had a nasty bike crash, and Bruce Parry's Tribe. Do you remember Tribe, Peter?
Oh, I really don't.
So he goes, Bruce Parry's like this explorer, and he goes and lives with like indigenous tribes all around the world.
Okie dokie, yeah, I get you.
So BBC's Last Man Standing and Last Woman Standing were iterations of a reality documentary TV series that took British athletes of varying disciplines around the world to compete in the same local sport, in some local sports with various peoples and tribes. So, for example, they would go to Mongolia and do Mongolian wrestling or stick fighting, kick fighting, you know, all that kind of stuff. There were various races as well, from canoeing to buffalo cart drag racing to endurance foot races with homemade shoes and soles made from tyres. It was a great show that showed that the love of sport competition is universal among communities throughout the world. It pitted some competitive, high-level athletes against each other in completely unknown and often dangerous sports, and it often saw them brutally beaten by locals as they were amateurs compared to people who had been training for said sport all their lives. And he goes on to say, it was absolutely appointment TV in our house and the Wi-Fi I have access to, and I regularly lament its disappearance, especially since I'm a huge fan of a niche sport. I once played swamp soccer in 2009.
Oh, nice.
Disc golf with frisbees and even a bit of pro wrestling, but I gave it up because it hurts too much. And this show is right up my street. If you remember it, I hope it's as fondly as I do. If you don't remember it, it's worth seeking out. Keep up the good work, Sean. Now, I do remember this show. I vaguely remember an episode where, before they did some Mongolian wrestling, and these guys are all Westerners, I think they're all British, they went to Mongolia to do this Mongolian wrestling against local wrestlers. There was like a ceremony the night before. And it was kind of in that period of time, Pete, when a lot of reality TV stuff was still quite genuinely interesting and innovative, because like it wasn't full of like wannabe famous people, if you know what I mean. It was quite experimental. And I think I'm sketchy on the detail here, but I think I'm right in saying that the guys who were ready to do this Mongolian wrestling the night before, there was a ceremonial dinner and they were served up. And if you're squeamish or not happy about this kind of stuff, then please tune out now. They were served up a meal of dog.
Right, okay, yeah.
And a lot of them had a real problem with it. And so it became a bit of a thing. Like a couple of them were just like, all right, if that's a local custom, you know, I don't want to be rude, I'll get stuck in. And a load of them were really kind of vexed about it. And that's the only thing I remember. Other than that, they were just absolutely had their asses handed to them at Mongolian wrestling. But it was a good show. And I think if anyone can seek it out on a torrent, it's probably Pete Donaldson.
I reckon so, if anyone's kind of uploaded it.
Do you remember it?
I don't really remember it, no. I don't really remember it.
Is it your cup of tea?
Yeah, I think so. But it's usually men and women who are much fitter than me doing bits. And
well, that's everyone,
just,
isn't it?
It just makes you feel bad about yourself.
Are you still doing your sprints?
Not still doing my sprints, no.
How long did that last?
Oh, about 3 days.
I'm still doing the line bike, mate. I rode home earlier.
Yeah, you doing a lot of line biking. You should get shares. I was
cost me a fortune.
Well, it was. I used a line bike today because I thought I'll get back. She got a new puppy, and Sarah's been alone with the puppy over the weekend, so I'll get home as quick as I can. And because it takes a lot of work, and it was like I was like, oh, maybe I should do this like free unlocking kind of like subscription.
That's what
thing.
I do. Yeah,
like $8.99 a month. Fucking
yeah, but it's £1 to unlock every time.
Fucking hell. What? So every time you use it, it's just a pound?
Well, no. So you, I mean, the point being that if you do the subscription for £9 a month, if you take more than 9 trips in that calendar month, you've saved money.
It's worth it, right? Okay.
And then you can do a line pass, which is £5 for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
all right, fair.
It's worth doing, but you can't ride a line bike back to Southend, you maniac.
No, I couldn't.
Where were you riding it to? Just the station?
Just the station.
Amateur stuff. Oh, I remember actually. Pete, do you remember, before we go, my first ever experience in a line bike was when you and me were invited to a meeting at the BBC and we got the time wrong.
Yeah.
And we thought it was 3 o'clock, but it was 2 o'clock. And then we realised like 20 to 2. And we had to get there quick, and we had to get from where we were to where they were. And you were like, "Well, get a line bike," but I had to cycle it, and you had to sit on the back.
It was really kinky stuff. It was a lovely scene, absolutely lovely.
It was carnage, and we got to the BBC like 20 minutes late, really sweaty. The head of BBC podcast,
exactly. And that was we've never had a commission.
We've never worked before or since.
I think we did very well. It's hard to sort of be really happy with your performance, like making up a lot of time that you fucked up in the first place.
You know they're not going to look past it.
No, exactly.
Sorry, the Biased Broadcasting Corporation.
The Biased Broadcasting.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get out of here, Peter. Why don't you take us out?
This has been the Luke and Pete Show for another week, and we'll be back on Thursday for battery brands and stuff. If you want to get in touch, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Follow us on TikTok, just search for Luke and Pete Show. You know which one's us, for crying out loud. I've got a moustache. Luke's sitting in the dark currently. So this is what will be up on the socials. He's flapping his slippers around.
What do you think of that slipper?
It's nice. It's a moccasin.
Yeah,
it's very nice. You could probably wear them out, to be honest.
L.L. Bean, despite the guy who runs the company's questionable political leanings, I still like the slippers are very good. I mean, there's no getting away from it.
There's no getting away from it. We'll be back on Thursday, slippered or not. We'll be here doing our thing on the Lucas.
See you then.
See you then. Tell your friends. Ta-ta!
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.